Hello, you're watching Talking Europe. Belgium is no stranger to political deadlock, and negotiations to form a government there have been ongoing since July. But the country has made sure that despite the domestic turmoil, continuity is maintained in foreign affairs with experienced diplomats at the helm. My guest today has recently taken his oath of office as the kingdom's new foreign minister. Bernard Quintin has worked in the foreign ministry for more than 20 years, and he rose to be head of European affairs during Belgium's rotating presidency of the EU. He also has a lot of experience in Africa, including a stint as ambassador to Burundi, and in Latin America. He takes over from Haji Labib, who's gone into a top job at the European Commission, and he joins me today from Brussels. Bernard Quintin, thank you so much for being my guest. I'd like to talk about the EU summit, which has recently taken place in Brussels. There was a lot of talk about Ukraine, of course, and one phrase which kept coming back at the summit was nothing about Ukraine without Ukraine. Is there nervousness where you are that there could actually be a deal done by the Trump administration over the heads of the Europeans and over the heads of the Ukrainians as well?
Yes, thank you for receiving me first. And on your question, yes, it was reiterated during the European summit of 19th of December, nothing about Ukraine without Ukraine. And it is for us very important. We repeat it not because we fear that something else may or could happen. It's just because it is our stance since day one. Since day one, we are supporting Ukraine in its fight against the aggression of Russia, and we will continue to do so. And it is very important that if negotiations are coming, it's first of all, it's not for us to decide, not for us Europe, not for the United States, for anyone else than the Ukrainian to decide that they will enter in negotiation when they think that they have to do it, and if they think that they have to do it. So it seems for us very important to repeat that sentence like a slogan today, like we did yesterday, and like we are going to do tomorrow.
What signals are you getting, though? Because I'm guessing that you and the ministry, you've got contacts with the incoming Trump administration, and we know that Donald Trump himself doesn't have a lot of time for Europe as a geopolitical or diplomatic power. What are you getting from him or his team about what might actually happen on the whole Ukraine question?
First of all, I think it will be important to see what President Trump and his new administration are going to do. We are listening to what has been said. It is very important. But then, 20th of January, we will have a new administration in place with which we are already in contact, as you mentioned, and to see what they are going to do. It is important for us to repeat to our colleagues across the Atlantic that we are there. And if we speak about Ukraine, it is all border, so it's very important for us. But as I said, it's for the Ukrainian to decide for their own future. Then we will be part of what is going to happen. We will see what will happen. But the place of Europe is very strong. Then we hear what the elect president is saying. We also have the experience of the first administration. So it's really important that we take that into account and that we now really, with determination, work on our open strategic autonomy. That is for me, as a Foreign Affairs Minister of Belgium, very important.
And just one final quick point on the Ukraine aspect of the summit. There was a discussion about possibly sending European soldiers, presumably in the context of any ceasefire agreement. What do you think about that? Is that a good idea?
Well, I think that it's certainly a question that we will have to raise. But as you mentioned, it's troops that could be sent once there is a ceasefire, like a kind of a peacekeeping troop. But for in order to send peacekeeping troops, you need peace. So that's the first step that should be reached. Mm-hmm. So for us, it's important that we speak about that, like we speak about everything. And that is what we do also at the level of the European Union. We speak about everything. We do not need to agree from the beginning. Mm-hmm. So it's certainly important to have that on the table now. So I listened to the ideas that were put on the table by some of our European colleagues. Let's speak about it. But the first thing is really to support Ukraine in its fight. right, to be sure that the day they will enter in negotiation, as I said, if they want to do it, and when they want to do it, they are in a strong position to go at this negotiation table.
Bernard Quintin, so EU leaders also very mindful of the evolving situation in Syria, and they say they want a democratic tradition, protection of women's rights and religious minorities, territorial integrity to be upheld and so forth. Is this simply a list of desires, or should they actually be preconditions for normalization with the Syrian authorities?
Yes. First of all, let me tell you that we rejoice with the Syrian people that an end was put to 53 years, of a terrible dictatorship. So that's a very good thing. And now there is a new hope for the Syrian population, and we have to support that. So what you mentioned, preserve the sovereignty and integrity of the Syrian territory, to be sure that the new authorities are working in the framework of international rights, human rights, respect of minorities, protection of minorities, respect of women rights, and also that they have to work together to a global peace solution for and reconstruction of Syria. These are not, I wouldn't call that precondition, I think, and certainly not European precondition. I mean, it seems to me to be the framework in which the new authorities have to work for the good and the happiness, if I may say so, of the Syrian population. So I don't see that like precondition. It seems for us to be the right framework for the new authorities. So now we are in contact with them. We have to see how we can help step by step. And obviously, what we hear from these new authorities, because there are a lot of groups involved there, what we hear from them, it's quite good, if I may say so. But now we have to see what they are going to do. You know, the words are important, but deeds are even more important.
Your country has frozen current asylum applications from Syrians, and over the last few years, 35,000 or so Syrians have received protection in Belgium. We're seeing Austria now also reviewing the status of Syrian refugees. Do you consider Syria to be a safe country for returnees as of now?
We definitely hope that in a very near future, Syria will be a safe country for the people who want to go back. The return of refugee relies on three conditions. It has to be voluntary, it has to be done in dignity, and it has to be safe. Those are the rules on which you can speak about return of the refugees. On your first question, actually, what was frozen, suspended, better said, is the examination of the new files, because the situation has changed dramatically on the ground. So it wouldn't be a good thing to take a positive or a negative decision on files now. So obviously it's only 2 weeks now, so we will see in the coming weeks how the situation evolves on the ground. So that's what we are going to do. Belgium is one of the biggest supporters, you know, of international law, international humanitarian law, all the conventions. So we will definitely respect not only the spirit, but the letter of the treaties.
President Macron was not in Brussels because of the unprecedented catastrophe in Mayotte, and he was replaced, or represented, I should say, as protocol demands, by German Chancellor Olaf Scholz. Now, France has activated the EU's civil protection mechanism. I wanted to ask you, how effective is this kind of European solidarity in your view?
It is very effective, but let me say first of all that we express once again our deep sympathies to the French people and certainly the people who are there in Mayotte and suffering a lot of losses, human lives, and a lot of destruction. So that's the first thing. The second thing is that yes, the UCPM is an effective system, and we are totally ready to support. Belgium is ready with some material that could be sent to Mayotte to help people there. there, sorry. And this mechanism, it works. You know, I was chief of staff of the Belgian Minister for Foreign Affairs in 2019-2020 when we had to repatriate thousands of Belgian citizens who were abroad during the first wave of COVID. So, yes, it is working. I mean, European solidarity is not only a word, it's also deeds, and this mechanism is a perfect example of what Europe can effectively do.
As I said in my introduction, Belgium is no stranger to coalition building, which is often a difficult process. In fact, your country once had a year and a half with no government at all. When you see the political mess in France at the moment, what perspective do you have on that? Do you think we're still very far away from having a culture of political compromise here in France?
You know, the political system is an image of the history of the country, and as an historian by training, I'm very keen to repeat that. In Belgium, we have a system. We have the proportional electoral system. It's because our landscape is not only the political landscape. The landscape of Belgium is quite complex. So we have this complexity that we need to work to find coalitions, not only between political parties, but also between the two main communities that we have in the country. That is not the history of France. But what we see not only in France, what we see all over Europe, it's a, let's say, complexification of the political landscape. And if I may be so blunt to say that we can always offer some advices, and we have a lot of constitutionalists and a lot of politicians and politicians, scientists who can certainly and are willing to help all our colleagues in Europe to at least understand what it means to form a coalition.
We'll have to end it there. Thank you so much for being my guest, Belgian Foreign Minister Bernard Quintin. And that's all for this part of Talking
my
Europe.
Pleasure.
We'll be back in part two with a panel of MEPs at the European Parliament. Do stay with us.